My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
On this episode, From Radioland, we're going to hang out with our good friend Abigail Noel. She and I are going to take a walk through Elmwood Cemetery. Abigail has a show on Blog Talk Radio on Thursdays. We'll talk a little bit about that once she joins us. And she's also a medium. She has information on, psychic information on certain murder cases, which will be absolutely fascinating, like Lorenzen Wright's case, also the Holly Bobo case, a couple of big famous investigations that have happened here in Memphis here of recent. And we figured, well, why not? Let's go over to Elmwood, where there's a lot of dead people, and see if we can get some of the stories through her. It'll be an interesting talk and an interesting walk as we hang out with a medium. On this episode, From Radioland. Yeah, I had to bring you out here to show you where he's buried, Thomas. It's, like I said, it's sort of amusing to me now that I know who he is. You know, if it was just, because everybody here has a story. That's the thing about all this. And there's 90,000 stories here. Whether it's just some little kid, whether it's an old guy like this. You know, who knows if his son, Hubert, who was a young man when he died, who knows if he could have gone on to be like a president? He could have gone on to be a mass murderer. We don't know.
Right. Absolutely. And that's, I love that you said that too, because the story, everybody's story is so important. And I think that sometimes we wait until after death, you know, to realize that. But, you know, every moment is a choice. And the story for everyone is important. We tend to minimize our own stories and look at other people's stories as more, you know, as more important or somehow more valid than our own.
So how did Hubert die? Can you tell me that?
You know, I'm not picking anything up. Let's ask for it to come back.
I don't think he died here in Shelby County because there's no death record of him.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's ask Spirit. I'm going to stay open to that.
Yeah.
And we will just ask that his son Hubert come through. And explain that what I've got, but I'm going to ask for further validation, is that it was an illness of some type, and I feel like the lungs were affected. But again, let's ask for further validation on that.
Yeah, Thomas fell off a ladder, hit his head, went back to my place.
And has been there ever since.
And according to the death certificate, he lingered for several hours before finally expiring.
Okay, infinite love and gratitude. You know, it's always interesting when, because I do a lot of work with what the angels call inbound spirits, people who are in what is most often referred to as the fourth dimension. Although I like to be careful with that term because there's really no separation. You know, when we talk about third dimension, that's where we live. The fourth dimension, and then the fifth dimension would be what, if you believe in heaven, what heaven is. But there's no, you know, that implies that there's a separate door. You know what I mean? Like third, fourth, there, it's a blend. Does that make sense? It's
John Lennon used to say that the only statement he had to say about death was that it was a lot like getting out of one car and getting into another.
Yeah, exactly. It's like changing.
That's how he imagined it.
Yeah, it's literally like changing your outfit, you know, like literally it's a costume change, you know.
So there's like a veil between the living world, which we exist now, and then the what happens when you wind up dying?
Really, it's a separate state of consciousness, is what it is. And so, with that said, going back to these inbound spirits, and I'm really honored to say, because I love to do the soul retrieval work. There's always a different reason for why a spirit would stay around or hang around. It has to do a lot with their beliefs. If they don't believe in heaven, if they don't believe in God at the time of their death, whatever they believe the afterlife is going to look like, if they believe it's going to be a black hole, you know, when they go there, then he might be hanging out. And I sort of feel that what I'm getting is that, and it's interesting because, you know, with the death of his son, you know, duh, you know, but I believe that he had some sadness, you know, I believe he'd lost his faith in God. That's what I'm picking up on. So I don't think that he really believes in heaven. So his consciousness is still in your house. He knows he's dead, but that's the only consciousness he's aware of. Does that make sense?
So if you know you're dead, then time passes, right? Is time irrelevant? Because, I mean, so he's, okay, he died in 1926. He must be blown away about the fact that I have a big screen TV in the house, you know, or the internet, or the technology. What is it these people are doing, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I think that regardless of whether you're in the, you know, third, fourth, or fifth dimension, and this is really cool because it's my understanding that we were all meant to be connected to our own divine guidance or the super conscious, you know, the collective, whatever that is. He has an understanding that is beyond our conscious understanding while we're in body having this earthly experience. But he's going to be limited by his beliefs and his thoughts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. So whatever you believe in out here amongst the living is kind of what you're going to deal with in the afterlife, right?
Exactly, in flame gratitude, unless, and souls can be worked with. So if they're open, and that's what soul retrieval is, if they're open, mediums, channels, psychics, and we're all psychic, but mediums or channels like myself that do the soul retrieval work can work with a person and can literally work from the other side on their thoughts, on their beliefs, to bring them back to the truth.
So it's an open communication then is what you're saying. You can actually talk and he can talk back to you, right?
Yes, if the spirit chooses. If the spirit chooses. I can't control what information comes through. It's just like a telephone. So if someone calls you, you don't have any control over making somebody call. So they first have to want to or be consciously able to. And then the second thing is you can't make them say or believe anything different, just the same way you'd get a phone call.
Right. You know? So like if I were to believe that that the afterlife is just like hanging out in like a dive bar, there'd be beer, right?
Absolutely, yes. And it's funny. I love that you said that because this is funny. This is a question. I spend a lot of time in heaven, okay, in what spirit says to me is the in-between. And it's really funny because we have this impression that there's, you know, heaven is this place of no emotions, you know, that people just walk around sort of in this, you know, milky joy state, you know, and to me that doesn't sound fun at all, but that's not what I'm shown. You know, people think that we don't eat in heaven. What I'm shown is we do everything that we enjoy. If you love drinking red wine and eating steak here on earth, you'll do it in heaven, you know, in full of gratitude. And we literally create our
own. If you're eating a steak, all right, the cow's already died once. Does he die again to get the steak? I mean,
not in heaven. What I'm showed is it's a lot like Harry Potter, but we don't need wings or wands
right.
for magic.
Right. Okay.
You know, I was on a session. This is so funny. I was on a session, about a week ago, and the client happened to ask. He said, "Well, what do we do in heaven?" And now my main spirit guide, my right-hand man, I walk with Jesus Christ, who I call Jay. He asked to be called Jay, and for a lot of reasons, but that might be a whole nother show.
Sup, Jay?
What's up, Jay? So I immediately, when asked this question, what do we do in heaven, I see Jay standing in front of me, and he goes, "We go boating!" And all of a sudden, bam, in my third eye, I'm getting this beautiful movie of this gorgeous lake and this ski boat, this red ski boat that's just badass, right? There's this giant, like, trampoline in the center of the water, like 100 people could get on it. It was crazy. There's like, and it's just beautiful. Everything sparkles with color. But that's what he said we do. We go boating. Anything, literally in heaven, it's just anything you choose to do. And it's all about joy. It's all about fun. We commune.
Yeah, because eternity is a long, long ass time. I mean, you would probably get kind of sick of boating after the first 1,000 years or so. I mean, but I guess time is not really a relevant issue then.
You know what? No, it's not a relevant issue. What heaven is like, it would be like the best life you could possibly imagine. If you got to get up every day and choose to do what you love. And that's what's crazy, because here's the message. You can do that. You can live like that. We've just been conditioned, you know, out of fear and this monetary system that we have. But in heaven, it literally, if you could just imagine getting up every day and imagining just your best day ever, the people that you want to spend time with, what it is that, you know, that you want to do. If it's maybe it's skydiving that day, you'll do that in heaven. Makes sense.
Are there animals there?
Oh, absolutely.
I think a lot of people have that question. You know, because, you know, I'm a dog lover. I've got two dogs, got two cats, right? Mm-hmm. They live such short lives that when they pass, you wonder if you're ever going to get to hang around them again.
They're all there. And what's beautiful about that, I love that. Well, see, heaven and earth, they're a mirror reflection of each other. We literally created earth to mirror heaven. Going back to the animals, what's beautiful, especially with regard to pets, oftentimes, well, actually, it's either one or the other. Either a loved one in heaven literally created that pet for you. Because in heaven, we learn to create flowers, trees, plants, animals. roles in sex, the same way that, that Father God does and Mother God. With that said, it's you. It's always either yourself who has created that pet for you, and they're sent down from heaven. That's why people always say, you know, this dog just chose me. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I know exactly. Yeah.
Or it's a loved one who has created that animal. And this is a common theme, and I love it because we're here in this gorgeous cemetery today. When often, I just got full chills, often when a loved one passes, someone, the people left behind, especially the one closest, you know, maybe it's a husband or a wife or a mother who's lost her son, they'll go out and get an animal. You know, they need something to kind of replace the lost love, you know, and it's beautiful. And that person who is crossed will literally send down that animal. And what will happen is that person will go, oh, my gosh, this. And I'll give an example. A dear, dear friend of mine, her son crossed very tragically. He was hit by a drunk driver. And after he crossed, she went to get her husband, who was really just deeply grieving. He just didn't know. She didn't know how to bring him out of it. She went and got him a cat. She went and rescued one from the pound. And this cat acts like her son. You know, he's got the same personality, the mannerisms. They can see it. It's beautiful.
So I'm going to go this way. I got to get rid of this bottle and the only garbage can in here. So
there's no garbage.
There's no garbage.
It's beautiful. And it's the something... only place in Memphis where there's no garbage on the ground. You guys got to come to the cemetery. It's beautiful.
What about the concept of reincarnation? I mean, is that like just an option amongst the dead?
No, that's not my understanding. And again, I want to be real clear on this. I'm just speaking my truth and what I'm shown, you know, and, with that said, I'm shown that reincarnation is really, it's required for soul growth. I mean, people will say this all the time. This is my last time, you know, I'm getting off the wheel. I'm shown that that's not the attitude we have at all. We cannot wait to write our next character. We cannot wait to jump into our next movie. Does that make sense?
I guess. I mean, what if it is that you want to? Okay, you get to the afterlife, you get to heaven, and you just want to hang there. And you know, I'm done with this whole earth thing.
Yeah, but see, time's an illusion. That's the consciousness that we're living in right now. Does that make sense? We have to really get away from the concept of time. We do go to heaven. We do rest. We do relax. And we even write in what's called vacation lives sometimes, which is interesting. That's why judgment and comparison they've got to go. Vacation lives are when, let's say you've done some really, it's like this, coming to earth is like school, okay? You want to learn as much as you can. And let's say you took 18 units on your last life, lots of tragedy, you went through the loss of a child and other things. Your next movie you'll write will be what they call a vacation life. And that's every once in a while where you see someone who's lived this life, very little tragedy, very little drama in their life. They have this beautiful, loving relationship, no money problems, you know, and then we tend to get jealous of that. Makes sense?
So you're saying that right now we've already chosen what we're doing. Is that
everything?
If I'm going to write a script and I'm going to be a homeless guy.
Yes, that's absolutely true. People will absolutely write a script to be homeless. No joke.
Why would they want to do that?
To learn and grow. It's soul evolution. But why they would do that, and let me really ask Spirit for an answer, how to phrase this. We only learn what light, what love is. That's God. God is love. Science now supports that theory, you know. And the only way to learn what love is to walk the opposite, is to walk in the darkest, most desperate times. Literally, when we make the most progress in our soul evolution is when we feel like life has thrown us face down, you know, just a complete face plant, grass in the teeth, you know. So
been there, done that.
And that's where we learn the most. That's how. And if we didn't have those times, why would you play a homeless person? Because maybe that soul had dealt with a lot of, let's say in his past life, a lot of ego, a lot of arrogance. You know, had a lot of money in the last life and realized it didn't serve. And really what this is about is that keeps you from understanding love, who is God. So in this life, he's going to reverse it. He's going to make sure he doesn't have any money so that he can now experience the other side.
So
that's how we find our balance.
I got you. So it's, in a way, karma.
Yes, it is karma. But see, we... We look at karma as something that's imposed upon us out of judgment. That is not true. There is no judgment in heaven. There are only laws and principles of science and nature. So the karma, literally, it's like an honor. What we don't understand is when you get back to heaven, oftentimes those lives where maybe this person played a homeless. Well, let me give you this example. Jimi Hendrix is a soul expression of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Wow.
Yeah. And we live thousands of lives. He's played tons of roles. But with that said, well, I'm not sure where to go anywhere else with that. I know it's a tough concept, karma. Thank you. With that said, karma is not as imposed upon us. It's not because we did something bad. We've got to flip that. There's no right or wrong. Judgment is just here. Does that make sense?
I got you. I see what you're saying. You're kind of imposing. You're having to live the laws that you impose upon yourself.
They're literally. It's an honor. We live these lives with honor. Whether we come to the conscious awareness of that or not, here in this consciousness, is up to us.
I got you. So when you're done with the ride, you can just go ahead and just go boating in heaven then, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can take a long vacation in heaven, and then you can ride in a vacation life. But see, only by experiencing the polarities of life, that's the only way we find our balance. When we're all here to find that balance between light and dark, total acceptance of self, self-love. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Let me see, because the Bible says it, you know, it says it's a lot easier for a poor man to get into heaven than a rich man. And what's really wild is oftentimes money is really what keeps people from self-love. Does that make sense?
There's a theory that I've heard, and you'll probably, about ghosts, right?
Right.
All right, and the theory is this, that ghosts, by a lot of means, are usually rich white people because they feel like they haven't done enough, mm-hmm. and they don't want to be separated with their material things. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. Absolute sense.
Those that have died in poverty or they felt they lived a good moral life, they're willing to shed that mantle and shuffle off the mortal coil.
Absolutely. And in fact, I want to go here because this is something that was explained to me by Spirit, by Father God, who said to me one day that time and money are illusions of the ego. He said they are not even created by God, who is love. And to prove the point, if you have too much or too little of either one, it creates stress.
Uh-huh. Money's, yeah, money's stressful.
If I were to, that goes against the laws and principles of love. So there's no way God created our monetary system or time. We did this.
Oh, yeah.
But what he said
yeah.
to me is, I gave you the sun and the moon. You know, we didn't have to create a clock that went tick, 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 tick.
Right,
you know,
right.
So we could hold everybody accountable for being on time. See, more judgment.
Well, yeah, because time is, that's what we created for ourselves.
Well, and what's wild is if you let go of the idea of time and what you think you believe about time, then time will start working for you. I kid you not, I can make a drive from Memphis to Chicago feel like an hour and a half. And I can make a session feel like 7 hours when it was 45 minutes. You know,
I got you. Yeah, yeah. That's what you're saying. It's in the perspective of things.
Absolutely. Same thing with money. If you stop worrying about it and you literally trust that everything you need will be provided for, it will be. It's done. And science supports what I'm saying. This is quantum physics. Our thoughts and our beliefs are creating our reality. So if we believe we're lacking in money, you will be. Make sense?
I got you. And if you believe that everything's going to be all right, you know, you live this kind of a rosy life outlook, no matter how many times you get kicked in the balls, things are going to be okay.
Exactly. Exactly. Turn everything into a positive. I know it's tough, but it's what it is we've been taught the wrong way. You just have to retrain the way that you think, retrain your brain. Makes sense?
Yeah, that's like the thing of The Secret. Remember the
yes.
that book that came out about that? And it
yes.
was really just positive thought, right?
Which is funny because the Bible says all of that, but we've taken and taught the fear. You know, but it's funny we had to have The Secret come out, and all of that has already been stated. You know, it's kind of like, when are we going to learn? Science even supports this now. But it's funny, last August, I was in Kroger over on at Highland, Poplar area. And of course, I was on the bread aisle, and I hear Father God in my head, and I kept hearing his words. He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth." And I stopped on the third time. I thought, I said to him in my head, and I talked to him all day long. I said, "Dad, what do you want me to know about that?" And he said to me, "Act accordingly." I said, you want me to act like I'm in heaven? You know, I'm in Kroger, Poplar and Highland. Really? I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. You want me to act like I'm in heaven? He said, yes. I said, how do I do that?
Go boating.
Go boating. That's it. I said, go boating. I said, how do I do that? And he said this. And he said, worry and do not entertain. This is what he said. He said, we do not entertain worry, anxiety, shame, blame, guilt, or resentment in heaven. Don't do it here. He said, if you practice that long enough, your life will start looking much like heaven. From that day forward, every time I feel one of those emotions, I do what he calls stop, drop, and roll. What I do is I make that the most important thing. I work with that emotion until I see how it's benefiting me, what I'm learning from it. If I have any worry or anxiety, that means I don't have enough trust and faith in God, the universe, love. Makes sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Turn around and flip it. And I'll tell you what, my life looks a lot like heaven. I do what I love every day, and everything I need is provided for.
Without any worry.
Without any worry. You know, and when it comes up, because yes, I live on earth, frustration comes up, worry and anxiety a little bit sometimes, what I do is I just work with it right then, and I literally decide that I'm going to choose not to feel it. That's it.
That makes perfect sense. It's the matter of the mind, right?
Yes, and that's really important, because this is another thing that was explained to me by Spirit. The mind, and we have a tendency to identify ourselves with our minds and our thoughts. That is not who we are. We are the heart. He says the mind is part of the Iron Man suit. That's what he said. It's a tool to be used. Makes sense? So, and science supports what I'm saying now. We literally know that the entire body forms habits. So these thoughts and the way that we think are habits that we have learned through what we've seen, how we were raised, you know, the environment and the influences that were on us. Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
If mom was a worrier, most likely, you know, you're either going to go one spectrum or the other. Makes sense? You'll either get so carefree that you're way over here on this side, or you'll worry like mom. But either way, it's there to bring you back into the balance in the center.
Is there a religion at all?
There was meant to be one religion in Flow and Gratitude, and we've had ascended masters and prophets doing their best to speak this. You know, there's people today. There's one religion. Love is the only message. There is no judgment in heaven. And what I'm told is that all religions say the same thing. Any that preach love in any way. And I realize the fear is in there. It's been injected. That's not God. Love fears nothing. God who is love fears nothing. But yes, there was meant to be one religion. And the message is love. It's always been that. And I think one day we'll listen. I don't know.
Is there a hell, you think?
The only hell that exists, and this is explained to me clearly, is the one that we create with our own minds. And I have seen that working soul retrieval. When I connect with these people in what's, you know, what we call the fourth dimension, they have literally created their own version of hell. And you'll see this a lot with suicide. If they believe, at the time when someone, say, commits suicide, if they believe, you know, let's say they were raised, and no judgment, but let's say they were raised, well, in any church, really, the Catholics, the Baptists, any of them, but in a Christian environment, they believe they're going to go to hell. Whatever they envision hell to look like is what they're going to experience, because that's what they believe at the time of their death.
So if you believe in all the fire and brimstone and the devil with the forked tail and you know, and the horns and the pitchforks, that's you could, by virtue of being that bitter of a human being, wind up in a place like that.
Absolutely. If you believe that's what it's going to look like. I'm laughing because and a lot of people may be shocked by this, but I call Lucifer Lou.
You call him, well, you're on that kind of a casual basis with Satan?
Absolutely. In fact, this is so funny. Father God himself said, sweetheart, he said, you can dance with Lou one time, but don't let him fill your dance card. That's what he said. So, you know, and what that means is that what that's a metaphor for is that we have to accept all aspects of ourselves without judgment. You know, without judgment, we judge so much, and most often we're wrong. Do you know what I'm shown is that 88% of the time, and that fluctuates because nothing, everything's always moving and changing. 88% of the time, when something happens in your life, no matter how bad you perceive it as being, you wrote it in your movie. very little happens by happenstance. I'm told it's only 22% of the time.
22% of the time is coincidence, right? The rest
Correct.
Is the rest is it's just it.
Well, and it's not necessarily coincidence. Coincidence would imply that there's no control over it. Every choice has a react. You know, every choice that you make has a reaction that's going to occur based on the laws and principles of science and nature. Which is why, even if that experience that you're experiencing is horrible, the truth is that experience is exactly what you need to learn and grow.
That makes sense. So, yeah, we do. We kind of bring our own problems onto ourselves. Then is what you're saying.
Absolutely. By the way that we believe or view them.
You know, there's all these people that. And I know you've probably met them, that wherever they go, it always seems like there's some trouble or some drama or something like that. But these are people that bring it on themselves.
Yeah, what that is, and no judgment, but what that is what spirit, you know, and we all know this term, that's victim mode. That comes from believing that you have no control, that the universe is just happening to you. Those are the people that would say, why would God let this happen? God doesn't let things happen. We're down here making free choices with our free will as a collective.
Einstein famously said that God didn't roll the dice.
Oh, man, I love Einstein. In fact, I've been reading a lot, and I've been asked by Spirit to read a lot with regard to Jung and Einstein on the theory of relativity as well as synchronicity. And it's so funny because they believed they were friends, but they believed that these two theories that were evolving, that they were pulling the veil back on, they believed they opposed each other. They don't. What neither one of them got is that love trumps free will. It's the end game. Does that make sense?
As long as you love something, then that's that, right?
No, as long as you continue choosing love, as long as you continue saying, I will not entertain worry, anxiety, shame, blame, guilt, or resentment. As long as you continue loving, no matter what it is. And I mean, and this is tough. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. If it was easy, we'd all be there. But once you get to that place, it's literally surrendering your free will to love, to the idea that you don't know best. And so, does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. I mean, now, how is it that you can go through and make those decisions for yourself, right? But what happens when people outside of your control become a pain in your ass? You know, if acts of jealousy, people that are angry for no particular reason, people that, you know, for lack of a better term, will shit on you at any given chance, you know? And there's people that do that. They act like that. And then it's always like you're made to feel somewhat guilty about it, you know?
Well, you're made, if you choose to feel guilty about it, then you will. The reality is when people react that way, it's their own lack of love, you know, that they feel that way. Those are their own fears. Do you know, a person is never angry. Ask them this, why are you sad? Okay, it'll get them every time. People do things out of jealousy because they're so frustrated. And people get this a lot. When you're really able to express who you are and be authentic, you know, it scares people. Does that make sense?
So when they act like that, just say, well, why are you so sad?
You know what? Move out of that energy. Forgive them. Don't play the game. Does that make sense? Just really break down what that is. And, I don't know really how to answer that, except that I would just tell you that there's no hurt that we can't get through. It's only our perception. In fact, we worry so much about these things that happen if we would just realize that everything is in perfect order. It's okay. Does that make sense? And then you send that person forgiveness. But definitely, I mean, if someone's messing with your life, and you, then pull your energy out, you know? But don't, you see what I'm saying? We have a tendency to play into their game.
Create your own separation then.
Absolutely. And there are times and places, I mean, and I don't know if we want to go there, but I mean, this is also Earth. We do need to hold people accountable. I mean, if someone's coming after you and they break the law, then use the legal system. You know, I'm not saying just completely be passive about everything. I'm talking about these little emotional hurts, you know, the backstabbing, the jealousy, the... See what I'm saying?
Let all that go. Just people being asses, yeah.
Just people. In fact, that's so funny that you said that, because, yes, asshole as an archetype. There are some people. I put it that the other day. I was like, we just need to have, like, asshole as an archetype.
Yeah. Okay. So when I refer to somebody as an asshole, that's earned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's important to understand, too, this is what really helped me. And it's funny because Shakespeare alluded to this, that life, this is really a movie, and that's what heaven shows me. This is nothing more than a stage and a set, and literally every single person, no matter what the exchange is, no matter if you view it as betrayal, if you view it as, you know, whatever it is, every single character that comes into contact with you, you wrote their script. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
You wrote in the assholes, you know? So it's like when those people, and they're coming up for a reason.
So this is all predestination then, right?
Yeah, that's why 88% of everything that we experience is predestination. Now, whether we get to our destiny or not, whether our life looks like what we think we want it to look like, is whether we choose to vibrate like love. Or whether we, if you hold on to resentment, if you hold on to guilt, if you hold on to blame, you're not going to get to your destiny, period.
I would hate to think that I've written a shitty movie, though.
I think you've written a great movie.
We haven't seen the end of it yet, thank God. I mean, it'd be horrible to get right up to the moment of truth when things are really starting to go. And there's this beautiful happy ending, and I'm struck by lightning. You know, smitten. You know,
well, yeah, but that, oh gosh, this is like, but that might be how you wrote to go out. What a phenomenal freaking ending, man! Infinite love and grass, awesome. Rick Cheddar struck by lightning and carried home by angels. You know, amazing ending.
At the point of solving world peace.
Exactly. He solved world peace right before he left. You know, it's perfect.
But he just didn't unload it onto the earth yet, you know.
That's happened a lot.
Oh, yeah.
There's a story, though, that literally encompasses, you know, what you just said. I was working with a client once, and during the session, and regularly as a medium, I'll have someone from the other side come through in the session as a means of healing. So let's say we have a lot of grief still for the loss of our mother, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. So that'll come up and we'll work with that emotion. What happened was I was working in the heart chakra, in her heart space, and all of a sudden I see the grandma from the Beverly Hillbillies, and she's playing the banjo and she's singing, "Grandma got run over by a reindeer."
I hate that song.
I do too. But it was so funny because I started laughing because it was hysterical, you know. So I say to my client, I said, I don't know what this is. I said, "What's it mean to you? I've got, you know, Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies." Soon as I said that, she starts crying. I mean, it just flowing out. She said, "That was my grandma. She looked just like that. That's my grandma." And she's crying, and the spirit who's here in the room, her grandmother's like laughing, you know. So I'm like, "Whoa, what's the disconnect?" So it was explained to me that my client says to me, "Well, my grandmother passed away 3 years ago on Christmas Day. And we've never had a good Christmas since, you know, and it was just tragic." And I said, "What happened?" You know, she said, "Well, she took a walk every day. She was 93 years old and she took a walk every day." She said, "We had just had Christmas dinner. Her grandkids were there, her grandchildren, her children, all the family. And no one else wanted to take a walk, but she did this every day by herself." And she said, "She went out to take a walk. She was hit by a car. It was shown to me, you know, to validate that she never even made it in the ambulance. Like, literally, she was hit by a car and she was gone." And so her spirit told me, "That's the way I wrote the movie." She said, "I didn't want to ever have to be, like, you know, in a bed or have someone take care of me." She said, "I wanted to be able to take care of myself. I told Father God I wanted to be surrounded by my family and my children." She said, "I told him I wanted to go home on Christmas Day." She said, "And I wanted to be in my body 1 minute and home the next." And that's what happened to her. But her family viewed it as a tragedy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So how then do you get over that, I guess? I mean, with your clients, I mean, they're still struggling with that. So ultimately, they have to come to grips with it and just let it go, right?
Actually, she let it go in that moment, because what happens is when I explain this and I was able to validate.
This is what the old lady wanted, right?
Which is called evidentiary mediumship. So I was able to bring things through for her to validate that, yes, your grandmother's here. And this is what she said. What's beautiful about the truth, is the heart. When the heart hears it, it knows. So when people are in these sessions, they're in that heart space. They're out of their head. They're not worried about what they're going to do tomorrow or what happened yesterday. And so they're in that heart space. And so when I told her, "This is how your grandmother," and I explained, wrote her movie, this is what she wanted to have happen, she could feel the truth. Make sense? She released her grief that day and said she was couldn't wait to go home and tell all of her friends and family, you know, so that they could start being happy at Christmas time again. And I hear that so often when I do readings. The one way you can really help a loved one on the other side is to celebrate their return home, not to cry, you know, and feel so sad about their departure. In love and gratitude.
Yeah, isn't sadness through death. I've heard it said like this, that it's actually kind of greedy. It's kind of selfish, you know, to feel like that.
You know, and not to correct, but yes, I understand what you're saying. And yes, it's kind of, it is shown that way as well. But it's all energy. So there's no judgment in it. You know, there's absolutely no judgment, but it is energy. And so you're still connected to your loved ones. It's shown to me that we literally travel in. That's what they say. What Father God says to me are pods. And they're soul families, okay? And literally, it's just like dolphins or whales is what I'm shown. We're very connected on a soul level. We play movies out over and over and over with each other. It's kind of like actors. Makes sense? The same director, the same actors will get together. But with that said, hang on, I lost where we were going. What did you ask before?
I know we were talking a little bit about, dealing with grief when someone has lost a loved one, the selfishness of it. That's what I was at. Is that even an act of selfishness, or is it just, you know, you have to learn to set that aside? And I guess time, of course, heals all those wounds anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if it's not, there's no judgment. So it's not looked at as, you know, really being selfish or being greedy. But when I say this, both things are true. Well, I'll explain it scientifically. I've literally worked, let me explain it that way. I've literally worked with spirits on the other side, and with, let's say, a husband and wife, and that's what this was. The husband and wife, she was in deep, deep grief. She was unable to get past his crossing. I mean, almost unable to get out of bed, you know, just did not want to live life. And I've seen this many times, but this is this particular case. And I literally had to work with her to cut the energetic cords. It's like he couldn't get to the light. He couldn't leave because he was so connected to that grief. It was literally like having a weight around his ankle. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense, yeah.
So I had to explain that to her and work with her over about 8 or 9 sessions, you know, somewhere in there to get her to understand. And it's not about not being sad. Of course, we're going to miss our loved ones. But if we knew the truth, if we really understood the spiritual truth, and what it is a lot of times people want to believe in heaven. They want to believe in an afterlife. They want to believe they're going to see their loved one. But it's the doubt that creeps in. Does that make sense? And there's doubt that people don't even want to admit sometimes.
It's that, well, what if what I've been taught all these years is wrong?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's that little piece of doubt that some people don't even want to admit, you know, and I don't mean this with any judgment, but that's because they go to church every Sunday. I mean, they don't want to tell somebody they don't believe in heaven, you know, or that they have that doubt is there. But it is that doubt that literally causes us to hang on to that grief, that fear that we're not going to see that person again.
Yeah, you die, you get to heaven, and they say, oh, you were a Catholic. Guess what? You chose wrong.
Yeah. You lose. You know, it's like they pull a lever, you know.
Yeah, and down
you go.
Down you go.
That's like,
you should have gone Jew.
That's like that joke where St. Peter's walking a new group of souls, you know, through the halls of heaven, and he's giving them a tour, you know, telling them, and over here to your right and to your left. And he starts to, you know, come upon a particular door, and he tells everyone, shh, don't say a word. He said, the Baptists are in there, and they think they're the only ones here. We don't want to blow their reality, you know?
Right.
We don't want to taint heaven.
Well, get down. It seems to be working now. Okay.
Awesome.
Because the battery died on the other thing, and now I've got this voice recorder thing on my phone, and now we can continue on, see? Because I wanted to ask you, and I know this is something you've been working with here recently. The Lorenzen Wright case is a big deal. And the Holly Bobo case, I mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast, which you didn't hear because you weren't around when I recorded it. these are cases that people are mystified by. Now, Holly Bobo, not so much, I know.
Right.
But the Lorenzen Wright case, let me start with that. Because here's this guy. He's an NBA great. He was well-loved by people in this city. And lo and behold, he ups and disappears. And we find him several days later, and it's confirmed that he's been shot to death. And there's all these people we think we know who did it, and the police they haven't done anything, they haven't said anything. And you have bound to have gotten some insight on some of this, I'm thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first thing I'd say too is I don't look for these cases. It was the spirit of Lorenzen Wright, who I call Ren, that came to me. He came to me actually the day that his body was found. And I understood that I was contracted to work with him, and he showed me what happened to him. He walked me through the events prior to him leaving the evening of July, I guess that was 18th, and he walked me through everything until his crossing. In fact, I can tell you that he died on the second bullet wound. They shot him 12 times, and it was two shooters, but I mean, he walked me through the entire story. It's been very frustrating to get anyone to listen.
So you know who did it?
I know what I'm shown, and I trust my abilities. I've had them all my life, and I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who any of the people in this arena and the people that I was shown were responsible. It was the readings that I did with him over the course of an 11-month period before he did walk to the light and go back home. All of the readings were validated by his family members, his mother Deborah, his sister Savia, and other members of the family. And yes, he showed me who did it on the first read.
Wow. So is there a name attached to it, or is this something that you can even get into?
I don't mind. I've done an episode. I have a show on Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, and it's called Intuitive Heart Radio. And last week's show, so it's archived, is on this. So all of the information is out there publicly. And again, you know, I don't know if you would call it an accusation. I am just reporting what I'm shown by spirit. And what Lorenzen showed me, and what I'm told is that it was his wife Shara who set this up. It was money motivated, and she was angry. It was 5 months after their divorce. There were some indiscretions during the time they were married that she knew about. He was behind in his child support payments. He'd been ordered to pay $26,000 a month, and he was behind. Lorenzen told me straight up when I said, who did this? He said, that bitch. And he showed me a wedding ring. And he said, more is all she ever wanted. It was never enough. And that's what I was told. She set it up. She told the police that she didn't know who he left with that evening, but she knew that he left with drugs, and that he was going to flip those drugs for approximately $110,000. So what she's asking people to believe is that she knew Lorenzen from the time he was 14 years old, you know, that they had six children together. She'd known him that many years, that he left her house that night with drugs in a bag to flip it for $110,000, but she doesn't know who he left with that evening. That's complete garbage. He left with Kenny Brown that evening, and it was a setup. It was a setup. There were two shooters. My understanding is I only have the name for one shooter, but my understanding is he goes by Big Bill, that he worked at the House of Dubs, that he was involved with Bobby Cole. But Bobby Cole and Mr. Pettis had nothing to do with this. This was just a perfect time for Shara to set this up and blame it on the drug involvement. And by the way, I want to state this, Shara is the one who introduced Lorenzen to both Kenny Brown and Bobby Cole. So, you know, I think there's some explaining to do.
Have the police taken any of this information? Or I guess they can't. I mean, you know, because they're going to say, well, there's a psychic that tells us this.
Right.
But, you know, and that's not, you can't be entered into evidence as court, you know, court as evidence, rather.
Correct. Correct. But I did meet with a high-level official. Spirit does not ask me to censor often, but I have been asked not to reveal his name at this time. And he's the only person that did anything to help. The reason that he did is because after interviewing me for 3 hours, he went back and checked the file, and he knew that I had given him evidentiary information that couldn't be argued, things that had not been released that were in the file. So he set an appointment up between myself and an undercover TBI agent who I gave the information for both Holly Bobo and Lorenzen Wright. And this was like 2.5 years ago, maybe three at this point. And it was ridiculous. This man told me that the only way he could help me is if I got him full names and license plates of the shooter. You know, I'm wondering, then what are the police supposed to do, you know?
you're doing their job.
Well, that's what it feels like sometimes. I did my best in the Holly Bobo case. I contacted TBI, local police. I contacted the FBI. They were less than helpful, and I've been doing my best. I told them all 3 years ago that her killer saw her at a St. Jude fundraiser that occurred 4 to 5 days before she was abducted. Her mother, Karen Bobo, validated that with me on the phone. How could I know that? I told them this, and they wouldn't listen. Now they've got, you know, this guy in custody. I told him he was a coon hunter. I told him he was wearing camouflage. Now they have him in custody, the same person I did my best to tell him about. And sure enough, he's a coon hunter, you know, everything I said. He was at the St. Jude fundraiser. That's where they saw him. So getting law enforcement to work with psychics, I don't really like to use that term. We're all psychic, you know, in Flowing Gratitude, but getting law enforcement to drop the ego, you know. Now with Lorenzen's case, it's my understanding that there's good reason. There's more than one dirty cop on the force that were involved with Bobby Cole that can't say anything, or they'll get the whistle blown on them. But they knew what was going to happen to Lorenzen, right? And one more piece, you know, so I'd like to ask Detective Dennis McNeil why he was the first responder on the scene when Lorenzen's body was found. Because I don't believe in coincidence. I understand that science literally says there's no such thing. There's only synchronicity. He was a friend of the family. He's married to Bobby Cole's sister. Lorenzen paid him way too much money to be his bodyguard, for crying out loud, and got him a job with the Grizzlies, and he just happened to be the first responder. That's not even his precinct. Dude works downtown. You know, so these are some questions I'd like answered in the case that I don't believe the police did a very good job. One last piece is, what the heck was Shara? Shara, what were you doing burning garbage in your backyard in July? You don't have to do that. They'll pick up anything right off the curb. You know?
Interesting, yeah.
I know what you were doing in July. You weren't burning garbage. You were burning Kenny Brown's clothes because Lorenzen's blood was on them. So these are some questions. If this isn't true, then please prove me wrong.
Wow, you got all excited.
It makes me, I'm angry. I want justice for Wren. All these pieces are there, and I do not feel that the Memphis City Police Department has done their job, and I'd like to know why.
Have you ever worked with law enforcement before in other aspects, in other cases, you know, because not just here, but maybe in other cities?
Yes, I've worked with law enforcement on one particular case out in California, and so missing persons. It was a cold case. I love to work on cold cases. That was out in California in Plumas County. And I will say this, law enforcement, depending on the area that you live in, we're a little more close-minded here in the South. just a little, right?
Yeah. You think?
That box is locked.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
You can't get these people out of that box.
You can't say that here.
That's right. Ooh, she said psychic.
Oh, yeah, she's trouble.
I've had people ask me, so you're performing seances. You know, I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Or how come you haven't won the lottery?
Yeah, exactly. I get that all the time. Oh, if you're a psychic, you know, that's because it's always changing. Free will and free choice, guys. You know, a psychic, and this is a big misnomer, man. If you go to a psychic medium and you want them to tell you what's going to happen in your future, please don't do that. They can't tell you that. They can only show you the possibilities that you yourself wrote in heaven before you ever left the shuttle for Earth. You know, so it's up to our choices what happens. You can make a different choice here or there along the way. All they can show you is possibilities.
So for that $40 reading, and they whip out the tarot cards and the tea leaves and the rolling of the dice, or looking at someone's crystal balls, whatever the case may be, that's not even a valid medium, if you will.
You know, I don't want to be judgmental, but I'll say it this way. This is what I'm told by spirit. If you go see a psychic, if you will, a medium or a channel, and they tell you it's a 100% guarantee, just run. And really, we're all psychic. That's what we have to learn. That's why I teach these classes. You know, I teach people, there's twofold. You know, we've got to change our beliefs and then learn to trust our intuition. But we were all meant to be divinely guided. We weren't meant to just have free will, you know. And so with that said, if you're going to go to somebody else and look for those kinds of answers, you know, all we're really meant to do with these abilities and with this divine guidance is to validate for one another, validate what we already know. Because your heart knows. What happens is we identify ourselves with the brain. We identify ourselves with our thoughts. We let the ego run over us. We live from a head space where we're more worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or what we didn't do yesterday. Makes sense?
Makes sense.
And we miss our divine guidance.
So how do I become a psychic? How do I tap into my own psychic abilities? What do I need to do?
Come to a class. No, I'm full of gratitude.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. There's the hook. It's what, $40? Come on in.
Full of gratitude.
Well, yes, you too, or your money back.
No, what?
I see money coming out of your wallet. That's
in full of gratitude. Now, you know what? I love that you brought that up. I'm called by my heart to work on a ministry. I don't believe in the illusion of money or time. So,
in other words, you're poor.
I have my right. Yeah. You know, poor in a way, but you know, I don't worry about money. Everything I need is covered. I got you. But I do. I work on a sliding scale. What that means is people pay me what they can afford, you know, to pay me. So it's never about money with me. I will not turn anybody away that wants assistance, you know, in really what I call coming back to their heart space. And it's self-love is what it is. So what does someone have to do? The best thing I can tell you is going back to these six emotions, retrain your brain. You will automatically tap into your guidance if you let go of worry, anxiety, shame, blame, resentment, and guilt.
Right.
Anywhere you're feeling those about yourself or someone else, go to work on that. And if you have, and most people do, we're not meant to get out of the, you know, get out of the weeds on our own. We are meant to be codependent upon each other. So find someone like me, you know, come do a session, work with me or someone who does the type of work that I do. It's called emotional alchemy. And it's about bringing somebody back to the spiritual truth. The reason we don't hear our divine guidance or our heavenly dialogue is because we're entertaining all these lower vibrational emotions. We're running around, you know, in victim mode, feeling like, you know, the world's happening to us. People have done bad things, you know. And so when we're all enmeshed in that and we're not vibrating high enough to even hear the messages from heaven, we walk right past them daily. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's not my fault. Everybody else is mean to me. People suck.
The world sucks. Life is horrible. You know, you're not going to hear your divine guidance living there. You got to get happy, man, one way or another, you know.
So how often do you have your classes?
Let's see. Well, right now, just kind of randomly, as, you know, people express to me that they want to. But I have a class on numbers. Learning how to speak or how to tap into your dialogue by understanding numbers. They speak an entire language. They can lead you to your destiny.
Math?
No, not...
Because I sucked at algebra.
No, that, you know why? Because Father God tells me that algebra is a useless math. He said we'd be better off if we'd never come up with it. That's what he said.
Who cares what X equals, right?
Yeah, no, this is more about understanding the vibration of numbers and understanding what they mean to your dialogue. It's really fascinating. And honestly, and I'm going to say it, it'll be of better value than any like arithmetic, adding, or algebra you have ever, you know, learned. And that comes on August 9th, Saturday, August 9th from 12 to 4. The price for the class is $44. But again, if someone
$44.
$44. Yeah.
Why not round it up to 45?
Because the vibration of 44 is beautiful. 44 actually, it means that the angels are all around. Father God tells me that it's called the stamp of heaven. It's just a beautiful number. Anyone who's listening, start looking. You'll see them everywhere, right? You'll start seeing 44s everywhere to validate this. So that's why 44, that's what I was told to charge, and I love the vibration. And then I have another class starting. It's an 8-week series on Wednesdays, and I give it two times, either at 11 to 1:30 in the afternoon and or 6 to 8:30 in the evening. And that starts on Wednesday, August 6th. And again, that's an 8 eight class series, and that is on turning up your intuition and plugging into your heavenly guidance. And that'll be twofold. We're going to work on those emotions, literally work on clearing resentment and pain, whatever people are feeling in what's called a group alchemical setting. And then I'm actually going to be teaching people how to read numbers, symbols, all of that, and how to plug into their dialogue that's already going on. It's not like you have to create it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You just literally plug into what's already there.
Online, where can folks find you?
Go to abigailnoel.com. abigailnoel.com.
That's easy. Yes. Yeah, and you're on Facebook and all that. So.
And I'm on Facebook. Find me on Facebook as well.
Yeah, you've got your Blog Talk show on Thursdays, right? Thursdays at 7, is that right?
Yep, Blog Talk Radio. It's called the Intuitive Heart. It's called Intuitive Heart Radio, and it's Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Next week, I will be doing Holly Bobo's story.
That'll be about the time this comes out, I think. This won't. Awesome. No, this won't come out. It's like what? Today's a Friday. This comes out a week from Sunday.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, so sometime around there.
Okay. No problem. You know what? Everyone can always grab it archived.
Yeah, it's
so
always archived.
Yeah, go to Blog Talk Radio. You'll find Lorenzen Wright's story on there archived. And then at the time that this airs, you'll also have Holly Bobo's on there.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
So in the meantime, what I've done here is I'm still in the studio, but I'm using this horribly ineffective USB microphone. I like how they put this, mandatory standalone messenger app, which tells me, if this is correct, that if you're going to want to use the messenger service through your mobile device, you're going to have to use this app. Allows the app to read your phone's call log, including data about incoming and outgoing calls. Now, you would be shocked if you went through your friends list right now and go to their about page, their fucking phone number shows up because they haven't blocked it. You're sitting there the whole time going, ah, damn it. All right, I've had enough. How many fucking pictures did you take?
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
You know, if you're hip to doing it, did you have fun with this, by the way?
I had a blast, Rick. Thank you so much.
No, anytime. But here's the
you're
thing.
You're awesome.
What we ought to do is set you up and so you can do your own podcast, see?
I would love it.
Let's do it. And that way you don't have to worry about the whole Blog Talk thing. I mean, we put it anywhere, you get it hosted somewhere, and then you can just talk whatever you want to, talk about, do something once a week. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
I'll
awesome.
Help you do that. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I would be honored.
Put you on the Radio Memphis, network of podcasts.
Oh my gosh, I'm honored. Thank you.
But you're going to have to commit to it now.
Oh, I'm committed. Let's do it.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Even when you get out of town.
Oh, I'm committed.
I got
you.
We'll get you one of these things or, get you a studio rig and away you go. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it because it's cathartic for me.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I get to vent my spleen on all sorts of stuff. And I get to, hang out with people like you and hear their interesting stories.
Oh, yeah. No, that's wonderful. This is going to be great.
Yeah, this is out here at Elmwood Cemetery, one of the most historic spots in Memphis. And I'm glad I could take you out here because now you want to come out here and come hang around with the dead people.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I'm going to come out here again. I mean, seriously, I'm going to come jog. It's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful spots in Memphis I've seen.
And you're never alone in a place like this.
And you are never alone. we're never alone anyway.
No.
They're always there.
Yeah, it's like, with the ghost in the house, he's just a little more obvious about it. But the fact of the matter is there's so many people that have lived that when you go out for a walk on the streets, you're walking through thousands and thousands of people.
Oh yeah, they're well, there's really no separation. It's funny because people say, we have to call in the spirits. Yes, in a way, energetically, but it's just a separate consciousness. Heaven and earth, what I'm shown is that they literally reflect each other.
Mm.
It's a mirror reflection. So they're always with us. Your loved one is never really that far away. Although what's funny is you do get very busy in heaven, no joke.
Yeah, you're going boating, for God's sake.
That's right. You're busy boating and eating steak and red wine.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And literally just, can you imagine how mad the Buddhists get?
They probably just like, what the hell is all of this about,
It's supposed to be vegetarian here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that poor cow died 19 times just to feed your ass,
Right, right.
It's imaginary. It's ghost steak.
We just reincarnate him anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You just keep cranking them out. So there you go. I think we got enough here to work with. I want you to come back and do another one with me. We'll do one in the studio sometime. We'll have some fun. Or if you want to come hang and play on the radio, we can do that.
I would love it. All of the above.
We'll make
all
it happen.
All of the above.
Abigail, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All love.
Yeah, there we go. And we'll catch you next time. So there you go, kids. There's another edition from Radioland. I'm Rick Cheddar. Thanks for being a part of it.